Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is a great business, but it can be a dirty, rotten business. You can have a couple of bad reviews that really are unfair,
mm-hmm. Right?
And you're out.
Yep.
You're exactly. Out.
Oh, well, actually, that's not a factor here. There's a waiter union. That's ours.
Oh, you
huge.
Oh,
yeah. This fucking guy
yeah.
Over here.
Jesus. When were you going to pull that out, bro?
Oh, like, okay.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Okay.
Tell us about that.
That's another thing. All right. I'm adjusting my chair audio, people. let me tell you about this. Power move.
Hi. Welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we discuss steps of service and beyond. Marcus Aurelius said, "The secret to all victories lies in the organization of the non-obvious." On today's episode, we are joined by Jay Salonga. Did I say it right?
Yep.
Nice. And we're going to talk about steps of service and beyond. But first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
We are in
Vegas.
Yeah. Listen, we are on our boys trip.
Yes, the annual.
Back on.
It's back.
How many years?
I think it's like eight, right? Seven or eight?
I think we're on seven.
Seven?
Yeah. We missed last year.
Yeah, well, I came.
Actually, you didn't. You came solo.
I came by myself.
That's fun, too.
Yes. So, Jay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
It's really special to me to connect with people.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to go unsaid that I do really take our community very seriously. I do like our service industry. I talk to people. I message people. I follow up with people. And I give my whole thing is I give you what I got. This is me. So, welcome. And not you don't have to tell people exactly where you work, but your experience is very valuable to me. So working backwards, tell me about your love for the industry and your experience.
So the long story short, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and then I was waiting tables ever since I was 18. Now I'm a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit more. So, and then at the age of, well, I'll say 30, I was sitting there waiting tables in Redondo Beach, California.
Okay.
So, as you guys know, it's a fancier part of Los Angeles. One of my coworkers jokingly said, "Hey, you know, you don't have much vices. You don't smoke, don't drink much. Go out to Vegas, make twice as much money." I was like, okay. Nice. So that day, I was like, let me see. I'm 30, time to make a choice. So I rented an Airbnb for my first month.
Okay.
So I was like,
"That's
all
right, smart."
I put on my credit card, see what I could do, saved up a little bit of money, ready to work off ramen noodles for the first month. I'm like, "Oh, let me make it in this city to be corny." But then, so I moved out here with a little bit of money in my pocket. I got it, and I showed the restaurant nearby my resume. I was hired the next day. So,
nice.
Oh, awesome. My God. It was crazy.
What style restaurant?
It was Italian. It was a very famous Italian restaurant, chain, mm-hmm. You guys could guess. But then, hey, I was like, all right, cool. I got a job out here in Vegas. So I was working a dinner shift over there. And then, so I was making it already. I was within 3 weeks of coming to this city, I'm already making as much as I made out there in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And as you guys know, you guys are coming from a high-income area. If you move from L.A. to Vegas, a dollar stretches a lot more for the locals, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
For the locals, of course. So, all right, cool. So some might say I'm doing well out here in the city. But then, so I was playing poker downtown. I was playing till 2 in the morning. Then I leave. And then I pass a restaurant at 2 in the morning. There's a line out the door. The place is packed. I'm like, at 2 in the morning? This is nuts.
2 in the morning.
Exactly, right? It's very Vegas. Downtown Vegas.
Yeah,
okay. The only poker room here. do some research. Open up Google, team. So I go home, get 4 hours of sleep. I call him the next morning. It's 6 in the morning. I was, hey, can you speak to the general manager? I want to look for a job in the graveyards. 2 in the morning, let's do it. Sure. So I go over there. He calls. He goes, all right, how quick can you get here? I'm like, I'll be there in 15 minutes. He goes, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. My suits are already pressed. Let's do it. So I'm there in 15 minutes, give or take. Mm-hmm. And he goes, all right. I give him my resume. He goes, and then at that point, it's 10 years of server experience. He goes, all right, you start tomorrow. Okay, so I have 2 jobs. You guys could tell the story. I seen the stories on your brunch stories after 16-hour shifts. So that point in life was fun. It was working dinner shift at the Italian restaurant. Then right after there, clocking out, zooming straight over and working graveyard shift.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I was like, I'm going to make it in the city. Let's do it. Graveyard shift downtown is horrible. It's what you assume the clientele you get, but hey, that's how you start off in the city.
And now, then, did you get the graveyard because you had the other job, or you didn't necessarily have a choice that was your in with that restaurant?
Yes,
that was your in. Okay.
That was my in.
Gotcha.
Let me back it up a little bit. So I was at this very Vegas start. I was at a cigar shop downtown, mm-hmm. and I was talking to one of the security guards. He was one of the security guards at Bellagio. And then it's a larger gentleman with a certain accent. You can tell he's been in the city for a while. He goes, the way you start out in the city, kid, no matter where you're coming from, I don't care if I didn't see your resume. You worked out there in Beverly Hills and all that. That doesn't mean nothing in this city. You got to start graveyard. I'm like, all right, cool.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. More than fair. So after 6 months of graveyard, you could transfer around the resort.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was hired that certain day in November. Mm-hmm. I had scheduled. I'm like, all right, the second it's February, I'm going to send my resume out and show my. And so I said, come February, I go to a higher end Italian place. It's real good.
Good money.
Great money. And then so I walk in there. There's nobody's hiring. I was like, I know you guys aren't hiring. I work graveyard at a certain place. Mm-hmm. Here's my resume. He goes, all right, well, we'll get it going. 2 months later, I was at the fancy Italian restaurant.
Leveling up. Very important.
Yeah.
Huge.
And as you could see, that's what? 7 months in, I'm at the fancy Italian mm-hmm. restaurant. I'm like, oh, wow. And then it's more money than I've ever seen in my 10 years of waiting tables. And then things are going fun from here. That's for sure.
Now, I want to commend you because it's important to me to highlight this industry. And one thing that you touched upon, like we had a podcast like months ago about 10 reasons why it's great to be
a server.
Mm-hmm. One of them is you did exactly what I did as well. It's a great job to transition to mm-hmm. when you're moving to a new city.
Yeah.
If you have great experience like you did, you're going to be able to rock up to a city and get a job. You're going to be paying your rent
immediately,
quick, fast, in a hurry.
Like you said, you got an Airbnb for a month. Obviously, within that month, you were already making money and you were back in the game to a point where you were able to go find something else. I'm sure you were fine after that.
And not only that, you're able to be in a community where you can find out where the best places to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yes. And then the places we know is worldwide. We're sitting here in the Las Vegas Strip right now.
Yeah.
And then you find out, everybody has, every property has its own style. So I fell in love with the downtown area. So, because it's more of the... Have you guys ever been there before?
Oh, yeah.
It's the old school vibe. It's right next to the mob museum and all that. The carryover, things like that. There's a new Circa opening up. So that's a new talk. That's one of the new talks of the town. That's where everybody's going. We'll talk later. We'll head out there.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah. So I moved in down the street from my Thurman Resort where I live at.
Oh, perfect.
There's another great thing. From where I leave my front door to my clock in, 8-minute walk.
Oh, walk. Perfect.
Yes.
Oh, or, you don't have to mess with the parking. Nothing.
Well, yeah. Sometimes walk, sometimes stumble on the way home. Because
I know exactly what that means.
I pass at least 8 bars that are always packed. Always packed.
Yeah.
3 resorts, but then I'm like, nah. A month in, I was like, all right, no more stumbling. This I can't do this every day.
Maybe you're spending all your money on shift drinks.
Oh yes, yeah. Well, actually, it's there's another thing. It's locals are taken care of, so
that's
I would say
that's true.
Fully taken care of. But then,
well, you take care of your own. Absolutely.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, do you guys have like anything like we have ITB, which is in the biz. And if you just declare that you're in the biz or they know you or you're in your uniform, we get a discount. We get like an official off the check, not mm-hmm. like they're sliding you drinks, you know, stealing from the company. They get the manager comes over and rings you up for at least half off. Do you guys have anything like that over here?
Well, as you said, a little bit of both.
Okay.
A and B.
Okay.
A and B.
That happens for us too.
It happens for us too. We get it.
And C. So I was playing, I have a couple friends from LA that came down to play Topgolf at the MGM.
Uh-huh.
And then out of nowhere, we had a couple pitchers out of nowhere. I was just like, oh, is there a local discount? And I wave my Nevada license. She goes, okay, cool. I look at the bill. 25%. The second I said I was a local, 25% off of everything. And then I'm pretty sure the drinks were a little heavier at that point.
That's the key, yeah.
Exactly. And then you guys know as well as I, we know when you're serving your own.
Yeah.
So yes. When people, here's a couple of secrets. When people say, you guys could attest to this, if people say, when you get a chance, can you do this? I'm like, you're one of us.
Yeah.
You're a server.
Yeah. Yes.
Perfect.
We always say that.
Yep.
I notice people when they, the way they organize stuff at the table for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't say anything. I just start smiling inside. I take it. It's not necessary, but, you know, I got you.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. When people organize their nice tray.
Yeah.
But then for me, it's fun. I call it out. I'm like, I say it out loud in front of everybody. Hey, you're one of us. You're on vacation. You remind them you're on vacation. You're on vacation. You're not stacking that. I'm taking it from you.
Nice.
They laugh. It opens up a conversation.
Absolutely.
If they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know the tip's gonna go up as well because you know when we're out we make it rain. Oh, you're one of us. All right,
true.
Cool. Here's an extra $5.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an extra $10. Shoot, throughout the week, if you get a couple of us, you're good to go.
Yeah,
your rent's paid.
All right, so let's get into your current place. You don't have to say where it is. I'm really interested in talking about. Let's talk about. The steps of service that are normal. We'll just knock it out, right? Because not everyone who listens to the podcast is in the industry. So we have what's called the steps of service. So go through whether you work at an Applebee's or a high-end restaurant. There's certain things you have to do. Run those down for me.
All right. Let's pretend you guys are sitting down. Let's do the whole thing.
Okay.
Good evening. I'm Jay. Welcome to blank.
Yes.
I'll be assisting you for the evening. I actually learned this from you from a previous podcast. When you say, my name is Jay, that gives you ownership.
So I am.
There we go. Thank you for confirming. But yeah, I'm Jay. Welcome to blank. Let's get you started off with a little something to drink. Our featured drink of the evening is our, whatever, Jack and Coke. Sure.
Well, so we're talking about the greet.
Yes, the greet.
Yes. So we have the greet, then the ring, the bring. Appetizers, if specials or before that.
Yes.
And after you sell the appetizer, you get the dinner.
Yes.
You check, you do refills. You check on when the dinner's there. You check 2 minutes, two
drop
bites
the
type
app,
of thing.
Drop the food, pick up the
drop
food.
Drop the food.
Clear the table, pre-bus.
Pre-bus, sell dessert, things like that. Boring. Right?
Yes.
It has to be.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
You wash, rinse, repeat. If you don't do those things, you're not doing your job.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is where you come in.
Right.
because you work at a high-end steakhouse.
Yes.
All right. What are some of the things that are not obvious?
And that sets you guys apart as well, like little things that you might do.
That steps up your game a little bit.
Well, let me see. Some not so obvious thing is reading the table before you come up.
Okay.
The way you would talk to a bachelorette party of 10 is a lot different than you talk to people that are celebrating their anniversary for 30 years.
Absolutely.
True.
And then that goes into what to offer them in regards to drink. And then, as you know...
That's interesting.
Yeah, really. It's so bachelorette party at 10 comes along. They're wearing things that you can tell they're at a bachelorette party.
Venus straws and yep. sashes.
Yes.
Tiaras.
Every day of my life. And don't get me wrong, I love it. You walk up there and you say, hey, all right, this is where the party is. Cosmos, Manhattans, whatever they're coming from. As opposed to, let's bring it back to the anniversary. People are celebrating their 30th anniversary.
Bottle of wine.
You can there go into go. Detail. Oh, depending on what entree you would like, would you like this type of Cabernet from mm-hmm. Napa Valley, Merlot? You can't do that to a bachelorette party at 10.
True. That is a great point.
I mean, you can, but who knows? But
it probably wouldn't land.
Yeah. No.
It's definitely playing the other way better. You're definitely coming off with Cosmos, maybe shots, you know, a little bit of something here and there. But
and the more special the occasion,
yeah.
the more higher end or niche you can go with the champagne or the wine. Absolutely. Because it's such a special occasion.
Yes.
I like that.
Exactly. And especially when they announce to it, you don't even ask. They say, oh, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary. We're out here in Vegas. Let's deconstruct that sentence right here. They're celebrating that anniversary and they're in Vegas. You're not going to be selling $2 chuck to these people. They want different things.
And yes.
We'll see. Of course, you don't want to sell them the top shelf. You don't want to ball service.
You put them in the middle range. And this, I like where your head's at. They feel like you're not getting over on them. Like you're not just trying to just sell the top thing just to sell it. But at the same time, you're making them comfortable where they feel like he's not pushing anything on me, so I'm definitely going to get that. And that pushes your check average up into a better place because they might get a second bottle. They might move along and stuff like that.
I never really sell the top because it's really – it's for people to really
– that know already.
Point you in that direction, right?
Exactly.
So if you do the middle of the road and they kind of get that – they just smell the fart – yeah. Then like you go that. Down, you know?
Right.
And if they look at you and they're more affirming, then you can go up. Yeah, you could go up to the XYZ.
Yeah.
But those top ones are for people that really want the best that you
I feel
have
like those
and they
people
direct
come in
you
and they
for the most part.
Yeah, they're giving you direction immediately.
Yes.
Like when you had that one table that was amazing, you didn't have to say anything. They were.
I didn't have to say anything.
It was pop and drop.
Popping and dropping.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was two at a time.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, another giveaway I get a lot here when people know what they're talking about. Like, do you have any wines from Napa Valley? Oh, good night. Checkmate right there. Yeah. So that's when you go into detail. Like, do you have any Pinot Noirs from Oregon? Oh, this guy knows his stuff. We're not going to give him glorified grape juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you know they're going to get another bottle. And then, or when you're opening a bottle, like, they do this joking thing. They always say, oh, you don't need to pour it. I drink it all the time. All right, we're in.
Yeah.
Call the manager. Hey, get that second bottle ready.
Yeah.
And as you know, and then it's on. It'll be like a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm like,
exactly.
Okay, that's why I moved to this
days,
city.
They?
Yes, exactly. Because service industry days. You guys probably have that where you guys. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. I mean, most people in some industry, in our industry, like, oh, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's going to be slow. Not in the city of Vegas, because a lot of service industry people have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays off.
Mm-hmm.
The busiest club nightclub nights, because, you know, I have a background in that, are sometimes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, because that's when all of our people go. And they were all, and then I have a couple bartender friends, because, and, you know, you guys give the bartender a couple extra bucks because we're one of them, as we alluded to earlier. Their best nights are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays at the top clubs in the city, as opposed to Friday, Saturday is where you get, as you guys know, you get a bunch of
the tourists. Yeah.
They don't know how to tip, and which is respectable in their culture
fine.
Somewhat.
It's
I mean, they're
fine.
People. Yeah,
we're getting their money too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, without a doubt. And so you alluded to, but it's important to note, you share a similar passion to Danny, as in DJing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Now, in your spot, in your restaurant, now you talked about reading the table. What other things that are the non-obvious that sets the service, steps of service, apart?
The very, very subtle nuances that come to it. Serve from the left, grab from the right.
Okay.
Some people pay attention to that. Grab the appetizer, fork out the way. And then pre-bussing always to the T at all times. Because last week I was with my buddy over at a certain regular fine dining. Mm-hmm. Not fine dining. A regular restaurant. And then I never paid attention to it in detail, but my appetizer plate was sitting there the whole time. I had my entree. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about dessert. And then I was like, I was thinking about dessert the whole time. I was like, no, my appetizer plate's still there and it's looking dirty. That turned me off dessert. I'm like, oh.
And that matters, and that's not obvious.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's a part of the pre-bus. You know, I mean,
the pre-bus should those are little be things. Down to everything that's not being used.
It should be gone.
Gone. The table, like, we have tablecloths at our place, so we carry a crumber.
Yep.
We crumb the table. We do a lot of seafood, so we do hot towels. Mm-hmm. And that really is a non-obvious, because I have to admit, I'm not always on the hot towel tip, but I really provide it in those situations. Some guys at our restaurant, they provide it a lot more, whether it's kind of like, you know, crumbing the table for them.
Right.
For me, it's a use case thing.
Yeah.
If you need it, I will bring it. And we had Naheem, who worked at Keene's Steakhouse in New York, which is a very old, prestigious, they have senators and all kinds of stuff in there. He had a phrase that said, the guest should neither ask nor tell.
Oh, that's money. I like
and
it.
And that stuck with me since we interviewed him like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
Our boy's
time.
In Berlin right now.
Yeah, cool. He just moved to Berlin. He's going to open up his own spot eventually.
Yeah, there we go.
It's crazy. We just had a going away thing for him a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so bring me into something that's unique to the steakhouse that I wouldn't really know, because I've never worked at a steakhouse. You know, obviously you have to mark the table for steaks and things like that. What are some things that would surprise me that I would know, coming from a seafood place,
right,
that a steakhouse server would have to do?
Let me see. Well, of course, marking the table, bringing out the steak knife, depending on what they have, steak or lobster or something of the sort. Let me see. In regards to something unique, well, I mean, everything's unique because it's Vegas.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah, all right. like we alluded to earlier, my bachelorette party versus anniversary party, that happens every day in my city. But then, like we said, maybe you might pop a bottle of champagne or something like that for the anniversary couple. Sometimes the bachelorettes want it too. They want the champagne.
Oh yeah.
Conversely, here's a fun part: the older couple that celebrate the anniversary, maybe they want shots, and it happens all the time. Mm. And then you can never know in this city. Like, if you look through my whole shift, let me go and run through what I had yesterday. I had, let me see, guys in cowboy hats, football jerseys. I had people in suits. I had people in flip-flops and board shorts. That was my four table section. That is
interesting.
That's cartoonish, and I love it. And then I know you fellow waiters are looking in your mind like, all right, what'd they tip, this, that, and the
other.
You never know.
Yeah.
But then again, there's you guys probably attest to it. The worst people are dressed. I think they tip the most, in my opinion.
They'll surprise you.
Because they're most comfortable with
in themselves. Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well done. And the more fancy people are dressed, that's where it could go either really tricky or really.
Yeah, you know. It can go. It can be the 20, the 25. It's never exuberant.
Mm-mm.
But it could be what it should be, or it could be a little bit. It could be lower.
Yes.
Yeah, I have learned you will die trying to figure out.
Oh, absolutely.
How people are going to tip in advance. I've had one tops that have blown me away.
Mm, that
and
happens.
Some people are like, oh, I'm going to take the one top. I'm like, yo, there's treasure in everyone.
Oh my god,
there really is. And you have, like you said, people in flip flops. they are, you know, they got money. They don't flaunt people. Some people, I should say, with money,
right,
don't flaunt it.
Mm-mm.
But they have it and they hand it out. I'll describe something to you for brunch. I do work with my man Paul,
mm-hmm.
and he's been in the game for a minute, you know, and I love it because we both bring so much to the table. We make a lot of money at brunch.
Yeah,
so now we get these regulars that come to see us. We have this particular older couple that come in. I'm not saying that they just look like regular people.
Oh, I love it.
Okay?
I love where this is
now, going. Paul and I, we're pooling, so one person will wait on that table. And it doesn't really matter who.
Which one it is, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And they'll seek us out and things like that. He will tip. Now, the brunch is pricey.
Right.
Okay? He will tip over and above on the bill itself. Ooh. Now, then he gives Paul a $100 handshake.
There we go.
Then he gives me a $100 handshake.
Oh, my God.
So, and that's just because.
Right.
Okay? They're walking in, you would never know that they got money or willing to give it out. And it's so wild because we just happened upon them and they were so nice. They ask about it and they're not even needy.
Oh,
they don't
yeah.
need That's much great. From us.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like, and we have some people that they tip us well, but they're needy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
or they just want your exchange. Time, or they want, you know, yeah, they want,
yes.
they, you know, sometimes they just want to talk to you and they, you know, they just want to feel important, which is fine.
Perfectly fine.
But, yes.
How you want it, we'll give it to you.
Exactly.
We're making money here.
Ain't that the truth? Yes. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Put that on a shirt.
I'm getting money.
Yeah, so, you know, yesterday your tables had, you know, your section had cowboy hat, flip-flops.
Sports jersey.
Sports, that one.
And a suit. Oh, well.
Well, no, I mean, it's Vegas. I mean, you know, they got a football team now.
No, it doesn't get me in a bad way. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that when you're going out, I know we get that too because we're in a destination. You're not going to pack all your wardrobe when you're flying somewhere. But I still had one bag. How dare you?
I'm all looking around. Where's that big old trunk?
It's a carry-on. Okay? It's stuffed to the gills, though.
Hey.
Because when we looked, they tricked us. They said it was going to be mid to low 70s and then 50s
cold, yeah.
at night.
Which is cold for us.
Now the floor came up to 62. I could do 62 in a t-shirt. I can't do 52 in a t-shirt.
No
mo. I used to do it.
Back when you lived in Buffalo,
yeah.
when you were dealing with, you know, 30 inches of snow and people still going to school.
Yo, when I went out in Buffalo, it was back in the day when you could, I mean, you guys smoke here, but in New York, you can't smoke indoors any longer.
Okay.
So you didn't want to go to a bar and get your jacket smoked up.
Oh.
And I don't want to say I was cheap, but I didn't want a coat check either.
Mm-mm.
So I would be like, yo, forget about it. I'm just gonna wear my little shiny tight t-shirt, and I'm in the club.
There we go.
So yeah, I could do it no problem. Cut to me moving to Florida, and then going back to the cold. Mm-mm. No, thank you. I pass.
Frigid.
It's a whole new game. And then, you know, the fact that we're not 21 anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now that we're all 23 apiece.
I don't know about you, but I'm 25.
Oh, damn. Okay.
But. Now, yes. What about your body language or versus the body language of the customer? Not versus, but let's talk about body language. Because that's another non-obvious that I use and I talk about on the podcast a lot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, there was this one time, it was my day off, I didn't have much plan. Mm-hmm. So I TED talked a bunch of body language because, you know, it works out pretty well. So this one thing I've been doing for the past couple weeks, I believe it's working well. Either that or it's a placebo effect. But then showing the palms is something. You could just stand there. Well, this is go great on a podcast. It's all audio. But with your hands to your side like a toy soldier, say, good evening, I'm Jay. I'll be assisting. Or if you could
hit
flourish.
Hit with the robot, right? Yeah.
Or if you could flourish. You do that little thing. You show your palms. It shows more
openness.
Energy, openness. Or, and then, okay. Works out pretty well. And then you physically do that, you have more energy.
Yes.
So that works out. But then, and then there's the other style. Let me see. I tried the hand behind the back thing. Nuh-uh, that didn't work. That was a little weird for me personally. You know,
when and it's a little back. Subservient.
The promo service, you mean?
Yes. Yes. I'm Alfred. I'll be assisting you.
I'm not a big fan. For me, I'm not going to chastise it.
Right.
But there is a certain amount of command that you require to dig money out of certain pockets.
Okay.
Now, there's something that you deserve to have.
Right.
Once you project the knowledge, mm-hmm. once you project the command of the table.
Yeah.
Okay? For instance, when I go to a table and if I'm using my hands, I use my fist and the thumb. Okay? Now, that is a power move that you see like politicians would use mm-hmm. and that's things like that when they're using it. You can use your hands. I will use the open palm in a confrontation.
Ooh, okay? Interesting.
So when there's a confrontation, you are upright and you use your palms outwards towards them in two ways. It lets them see that you have nothing in your hand.
There we go.
And it can de-escalate the situation. However, it provides distance between you and the opponent, and it also gives you that extra space that requires when you need to slap a fool.
Okay. There we go.
Now, you can use it at a table, like you said.
Right.
Now, I use the closed fist with the palm, like basically the thumbs up, you know, right. when you're talking to them, and I do use the open palm, but, you know, I'll tell them about the specials or how things are going to go, and you use that.
The nonverbal. I'm big on the nonverbal.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
And as I stand, and I've described this before, I very rarely will bend over. Mm. Similar to the arms behind the back.
Right.
I will not do that because that is a subservient move. And then if they have that over you, then you are at mercy of their generosity. What I'm looking for wow. is an exchange, okay?
Okay.
So the higher my competence and the higher my command, they owe me. And they feel that exchange where they have to give me that higher gratuity because I am worth it. Like, for instance, when you hire a professional,
right.
okay? We can all probably... you know, fix something.
Right.
All right. You get in trouble and you call an electrician or a plumber and they come in with a 99-cent part and they charge you $200. You're not paying for the 99 cents and you're not paying for their time. You're paying for their experience and their expertise.
Knowledge. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Same thing when you sit at my table. You're paying for my knowledge and my expertise. So how do you know that I'm knowledgeable? How do you know that I'm an expert? How I carry myself in the nonverbal.
Beautiful.
And in the non-obvious, okay? And so I walk to the table, and if people are talking, I wait.
Okay.
I wait. I don't say anything. Excuse me, can I have your attention? I never announce if I need attention. Standing there, they then notice that I'm standing there, and they will acknowledge me. And then I will say something graciously, like, oh, pardon my interruption, and I get right into it. And then other people at the table elbow, oh, he's talking. You know, and those things start to build your credibility.
Okay.
Right? And as you build your credibility, my feet are always just a little bit outside shoulder width apart. And that makes an A frame between your hips and your, like, that's a power stance. They recognize that. And I then choose where I stand, okay? Where you stand is important. If you have the latitude, you stand close to the person who is, quote unquote, air quotes, in command, in power.
Right.
And that lends you that, and vice versa. If you're in power, you can lend it to other people where you stand.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so as you go through those things, and when I clear a table, I get in, I lean over,
right.
I will crumb, and I'm gone. I'm not intrusive as it's not about me, but I make sure that I am noticed, and I tend to say, I am going to clear your table. I am going to reset your table. All verbal commands, they know what's going to happen, what's going to happen next. I'm in control. I up my credibility. I up my tips because they now feel indebted to me for my experience.
I love that. That makes perfect sense how you're... Okay, when you say, I'm going to clear your table, what I personally have been doing, I'm saying, allow me to clear your table. That's another subservient versus...
I don't have a problem with allow me because in a way... There's a dance, right?
Right, right.
You know,
it's on the balance.
So yes. So yes. They're allowing us. We are allowing them.
There we go.
They are allowing us to do our job, and they have to allow us to wait on them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if they try to command how things are going to go, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we know our chef. We know how things are going to go. And that things can, it's like a dance, right? When somebody's out of rhythm and your knees bump and you don't go, it doesn't work. You know, no. So I would say allow me to clear the table. It's as you're still declaring you know what has to be done.
Yes.
Because you told him what needs to be done.
Exactly.
Yes. But there now, and now you're asking permission. You're not going.
No. Allow me isn't asking permission. Allow me is I'm doing this.
Yes.
I like it.
Right? So asking permission is can I? Can I clear your table? Is it all right if... No, that never happens.
You could just tell by the voice where you're saying it gets a little higher pitch. No, it's...
Yeah.
Allow me to ask, can I? No, I can't even say that right.
And that's, and that's another nonverbal.
There we go.
Is your pitch and tone.
Mm-hmm.
You use your pitch and tone according to who you're speaking to. If you're speaking to a child, and parents really notice how you speak to your to their children and how you treat them well.
Right.
And how you educate them. And you know, you talked about the remarking the table and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a pain in the ass and a snob when it comes to the positioning of the silverware.
Okay.
And when they put the silverware on the wrong side of, I fix it every time. And then they notice it.
Yeah.
They straighten up. Even if the tines of the knife are faced the wrong way, I will turn it the right way.
All right.
And those things, those non-obvious things, they notice every single time.
Oh, of course. If I ever see that, if that's it's a power move, for lack of a better word, but oh, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yes.
This.
And I've had people who have been etiquette coaches or people, they've said something, oh, how did you know to do this? And I look at them, I go, what do I look like?
I know, right?
Why are you here?
I love it. That's great, too.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to step on your toes in the description of what you were describing to the audience. Please.
What are we leaving off again?
We're talking about the non-obvious. So you left off on your presence at the table.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, the presence of the table. That's great. I'm gonna write that down and take care of that. But then where to stand? Of course, find the for lack of a word, as you said, commander of the table. That's huge. Of course, eye contact. That's. I want to. If I was given a percentage, 60% of the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Don't be creepy stalker and stare at him, but then show him.
Hey, so, what are the nuances? Talk about it. Let's dive into the eye contact.
Okay. So, of course, you have to have eye contact with. So, if they're indecisive, they're still looking at the menu. They're shuffling around. Of course, you give them time.
Yeah.
But then, when you're looking down, and then you actually stare. You when you're taking the order, of course, you have to write it down. But then. Mm-hmm. You command again, like, okay, let's get you start off with a couple appetizers. The appetizers are gone already. Entrees. Allow me to order your entree. Or what would I say? All right, what would you like for the entree for the evening? And then let's start with the miss. That's why I always say that. That shows, you know, what do you call it? Chivalry and all that.
I do a ladies first kind of situation as well.
Exactly.
Always.
That's a standard.
Yeah.
But then me personally saying allowing the miss, may I start with the miss, or like you said, that's a power move. You're showing that's how it's done.
Especially when the guy just pipes up and I cut him down. I said,
you got it. Yeah, sometimes you got to give him a stiff arm.
Oh yeah. There we go. Come on.
You don't see this on the audio, but we're all giving this invisible guy in the suit. Stiff arm.
Uh-huh. Hand to the face. Cash me outside. How about that?
Exactly.
You know better. Let your wife order.
Exactly.
Or girlfriend or hoe.
Yeah, whatever it may be.
It's Vegas. It's Vegas.
Or all three. Or all three. But yeah, and then another great thing I actually found, I was there paying attention to, bringing back to the diner I was at last week. It was one of the good things they did. I was halfway done with my beverage. I haven't seen my waiter in a while, so I was like, oh, I haven't seen my waiter in a while. I need a refill. Out of nowhere, she comes up, full refill, full glass of ice, dropped off to the table. Like, oh, that's money. She's paying attention to us. That's huge.
That's huge.
I mean,
that's silent service. I do a lot of silent service as well.
Nice. Yeah.
Again, like you gotta read the table if you want the silent service. Yes. Or we both come from tourist industries, like, oh, what's there to do around here? You have to have those on lock all the time.
Yeah.
Especially, and of course, again, you have to judge the guest. All right, would this bachelor party want to go here?
Mm-hmm.
Or would this older couple want to go to a show? I mean, it's again above and beyond.
Yeah.
First answer, of course, I'll tell them which club to go to if it's a bachelor party. Secondly, for the older couple, I'll tell them, "Oh, Rod Stewart is at Caesars or something like that."
Yeah.
Or bachelorette party, Chippendales is at Rio. That's the way to go. And then of course they want to know in detail. You gotta know what's going on in your city, or sometimes when it's busy downtown on Fremont Street, people would ask, "Hey, why is parking $50 here?" Which hurts. I'm like, "Oh well, there's Elenium is in town down the street. That's why they get to pay an extra $50."
Gotcha.
But you remind them, "Hey, we'll get it validated. I'll save you $50." Boom. Yeah, I physically just heard my tip go up $20 right there because I saved 50.
Yeah, and you're their advocate.
Yes, advocate. Yes.
Now, is it fair to characterize it as, you know, it seems that you really, even just talking about your station from last night, it's not only the hats that are in the seats, you have to wear different hats.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. That's for sure. Of course, the easy one, sport. If they're wearing the sports jersey, I bring it up. Of course, only if they win. That's a. You can imagine the story I had if I had that story. Their team lost. They're walking. There's nothing worse than walking around with a sports jersey after your team lost, but you're 5 miles away from your hotel. I'm gonna wear this Miami Dolphins jersey. Yeah. No offense, guys.
Neither one of us are Miami fans.
There we go. We're good. So these Dolphins, they lost. They're walking around with a Dolphins jersey. You're not bringing that up. You're waking them like they're wearing a regular T-shirt. If the Dolphins win that day and it's on, like, oh, that game was great. They pipe up like, oh, yeah, it was awesome.
Nice. Mm. Full disclosure, I'm a Bears fan. The Bears are playing the Raiders in Las Vegas this weekend.
All right.
So if I win that cash money, we're going to the game, buddy.
There it is.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now let's leave them on something that you've been saving for yourself, like a nugget of information that's been your thing that makes you unique in your service. Like if you were, let's say, at an interview, right?
Right.
And you bring your expertise. You have your years of experience there. Why, Mr. Salonga, do you think you're a good fit here at the OK Corral State House?
Well, actually, yeah, well, as you could see on my resume, I have this amount of years at the OK Corral Steakhouse. And then here's a fun one. I'm actually looking for another position at a brunch spot just to fill time because, you know, I'm leaving a lot of money on the table. I would physically do, I'll say it out loud. So I've always wanted to work at the Bellagio. The Bellagio has been around since blank.
Yeah.
This particular restaurant has been out here for blank. And you say that to the manager. You go, oh, he did his research. He knows this restaurant's been this long.
Yeah, true.
And then, yeah. And then right now, here's a fun part. If we're listening to this podcast. We've all been, if you're listening to this, you do your due diligence. You're trying to look for extra nuggets of information. There's a before this whole thing last March, I want to bring this up. It was hard to get a job at these places.
Mm.
These high end $200 per person. If you walk around at a higher end restaurant, as you guys know, the wait staff can be older, more experienced.
True.
It's not the other places that we were when we were 21.
Yeah.
They're here for
they are making a career out of it.
Yes, a career. And then there is a career to be made out here in this city, as the story I told you. I make my rent in 2 days out here.
Fantastic.
And
then
out of 20 shifts? Okay. Sounds great. And then there's more money to be left on the table. Bring it back to the older folks that have been there. When we're in the hustle mode, right? We're in our age. Like, oh, I'm going to take this table at all times. I'm going to close. We're going to do that. And then one of the older, actually most of the older waiters ago, I remember when I was your age, hustling, trying to get that extra table. In my mind, I have a time clock. By the time I'm 40, I'm going to be this person that doesn't want to take that extra table. I want to go home and sleep and that extra half hour. So every time that comes in my mind, every time I pass up a table because I'm tired or I'm closing, like, no, that's, I'm not going to do
that.
You're
going to be near the table, yeah.
Uh-huh. As I see, so during your, I was listening to one of yours, the double brunch shift. Oh, my God. Me saying that out loud is rough.
It's rough. I don't do them anymore, full disclosure.
God. Oh, that's for sure.
I went up to my manager. I was like, not for me.
Mm-hmm. You think you're a hustler, but that 12-hour shift, oh, what's happening? Where am I? But then, oh, my God, you go, I hate this. You go home, you look in your wallet, what you made that day? I'm going to love it tomorrow.
That's true. That's
And it has its advantages, but it looks like we talked about this on the show before, is if you go in and let's say you're working less shifts or you have what you want, you still find a way to make the same amount of money, maybe a little bit less, but your peace of mind is all there.
The peace of mind is
it's huge.
Huge.
I am older than you are, and I get it. The reason why the brunch shift is so brutal, the brunch double, is it came, for me personally, it came off of a Saturday shift.
Oh.
Right?
Got it.
So then it wasn't just rocking up after a day off and you're working that 12?
Yeah.
Ten to 12 hours.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm just not in that hustle mode because I'm doing other things.
Right.
So my recuperation is challenging because I have other things that I have going on. And I commend you because consistent throughout your story is leveling up.
Yep.
What can I do next? And that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I encourage people to do in this industry, I do love this industry, have multiple streams of income.
There we go.
Do other things, whether it's another restaurant job or something else. Let's get this money. But you also, like Danny said, have to have that peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, it is a great business, but it can be a dirty, rotten business. You can have a couple of bad reviews that really are unfair.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're out.
Yeah.
You're exactly. out.
Oh, well, actually, that's not a factor here. There's a waiter union. That's ours.
Oh, you
huge.
Oh, yeah. This fucking guy over here. Jesus. When were you going to pull that out, bro?
Oh, okay.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Okay.
Tell us about that.
That's another thing. All right. I'm adjusting my chair audio, people. let me tell you about this. Power move. Oh, my God. So, you know how when you're like busy day, you could just call. You got to have something to do tomorrow. I mean, so let me throw something out there. Maybe a DJ gig that pays you a lot more than that shift.
Yeah.
Theoretically speaking.
Never happened to you.
At DJ J Noble at Instagram. But, so Friday night, I may or may not have got a call to work a lounge that pays a lot more. Thursday night, I give him a call. I say, hey, I'm going to use an attendance point. And hang up. No questions asked. Done. And then that night, I have tomorrow night off. I could do that. You could do that 12 times a year.
Tell me about where I fill out an application.
You have to live here.
And what is an attendance point?
An attendance point. It's not attendance. There's different words. Attendance points.
It's like a PTO.
Call outs. Like PTO.
When you have...
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. Exactly. First time I did that. It was...
Did you know about this?
But yeah, because Jay kind of told us about it. Remember when I was on a podcast?
He was never in...
No, but he talked about the unions and stuff like that.
Mm. From the outside?
Okay. This guy's on the outside. Okay. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, tell us about it.
Unions are nuts. I love it. So
do you have to pay dues?
Yeah, I think it's, I want to say, $50 biweekly. I have.
Now, do you see it? Does it come out your check? How does it work?
It comes out the check.
Okay, so you don't really see it.
You don't see it.
That's awesome.
And so on a pre-tax basis.
Oh, beautiful.
We have
worth it.
This is a fun time because we're not 21 anymore. As I said before, we have military grade insurance. It's great. My friends in the military, I have better insurance than through this union. It's nutty.
That is awesome.
I'll say. A friend of mine went to had to go to the ER one day, and then the second you say ER, oh my God, that's what
you just added zeros automatically.
Exactly. He had what found out was gallstones.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yes. So you say X. He said X ray. This, that, the other. So he whatever me. in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is gonna cost me $9,000-$10,000. I'm still in that LA state of mind. This is gonna suck. I'm gonna go under. She goes, here's her bill. $15.
$15.
Wow. And then let me see. They gave me some medication. I hung out, got X-rays, the whole nine. Next month, I pull up my. I see something. Culinary Union. Oh, this is the bill from it. This is the back end pay. I open it. Your copay $15. What insurance paid? $9,000. I'm like, oh my God, I got away with it.
Fantastic. That is amazing.
That good for you.
Yeah, it's crazy. I am
very pleased to know that this exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Wow. That gave
Vegas me. Vegas is the move, people.
Vegas is some more the move.
Coming to your side. Yo, LA's going to flood out into here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, we're out of here. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Villan. Subscribe, people.
We'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.
Hey, we got a bottle in this motherfucker. Hey, we got a bottle in this motherfucker. Hey, we got a bottle.